Hey, everybody. Sorry, I was a few minutes late. I don't know if any of you all were on the webinar with Corinne. She was doing a webinar for the last 2 hours with folks that are interested in joining P&P. So it was so awesome to be on there and just hear their questions and all that kind of stuff. So, okay, let me get situated here because we already got a couple folks who raised their hands. And if any of you all who are on here, if you see any posts, if you're on Facebook and you see any posts about where am I or anything like that, if you'll post that, you know, we're starting. So, just if anybody is wondering, because if they were looking for it, Corinne was, I think Corinne could have answered questions for the next, I don't even know how long. So let me get the chat up real quick. Merge to meeting window. Okay. And then attendees. Okay. We've got Leah and Robin up. So let's get started. Hi. Do you, you know, you've got to do the start your audio. So just tap on your phone and see where it says start audio. Because there's some kind of new settings on Zoom where we can't unmute you.
Okay.
There we go.
I'm here now. Okay.
All right.
Sorry about that.
No problem. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I've been going since early this morning with Corinne doing stuff, so it's been fun. It's been good.
I just finished a 4-mile walk getting ready for the race. So
awesome. So what distance are you doing?
I'm doing the 10K. I'm walking the 10K. I kind of have a bum knee, so I can't really run anymore. So I'm just gonna walk the 10K.
Do you think I'm telling you, you might just end up doing the half marathon just for shits and giggles.
You never know.
We had folks who did that last year. So just, you know, be open to that when the time comes. So what's going on?
I need some help modeling. Okay. I'm in the process of buying a house. Mm-hmm. And it's been very stressful this week. So, you know, I haven't a history of being kind of a storm eater, and I just haven't really engaged in that behavior at all. And I've realized in doing recovery worksheets that I really have coping mechanisms for the daily stresses, things that comes up in life. I have a stressful job, but even in my daily life, I have coping mechanism. I can coach myself. Mm-hmm. This week, I had the inspection on the house because I'm under contract. The inspection came back that there was minor foundation issues. So I had to go and get, you know, quotes. I had to get an engineer out there. I had to get quotes from, you know, 4 foundation companies. I had to get the electrician out there, the plumber, all these things. And I went into kind of a really overwhelmed mode, and I storm ate over it. And I did a recovery worksheet. And I realized that I don't have any coping mechanisms for the big things in life, right? The small stuff I can handle. It's the big, like, I identify the 2 feelings that came up, mm-hmm. but I can't figure out what the thoughts that were driving it at all. And I've thought about it. So I need help kind of getting me, I need questions to prompt me to dive. So it's disappointment and failure.
Okay.
And I was disappointed that this was happening. And somehow I felt like I had failed, even though it was outside of my, you know, nothing I could do. It's a, mm-hmm. the house was built in 62. I'm in Texas. I'm in Dallas, Texas. So we have clay soil. It's very typical. But yet I went into this literally paralyzed by not knowing how to function. I mean, I did all the things, right? I did all the things. But in doing all those things, the way I was able to do them was by storm eating.
Okay. So here's the first thing.
Okay.
So whatever this happened, you know, whatever it was, this happened is no different than anything else.
Okay.
I mean, I want you to stop thinking that, like, well, I can't handle the big stuff, but I can handle the small stuff, because it's all just stuff. It's all just stuff that's up in that sea line, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first thing, is just, it's all just stuff, and nothing is bigger or smaller than anything else. It's just all circumstances. And I mean, you know, you may not quite believe that yet, but it's just kind of open up your mind to that first, because it's all the same, you know, it's all the model, right? You can put everything in the model, and, you know, whether it is, you know, I got a hangnail, or, you know, I lost my house. I mean, it's just all the circumstance, right? And so we handle everything different. I mean, we handle everything the same, in terms of you have the coping mechanisms to handle anything, and you've been handling it all with those coping mechanisms, but you just haven't had anything big come up yet. And so, or, you know, you thinking it of it as big is your thought, because it's really not any bigger than anything else.
I don't know. Also, if the thought was because it's a big purchase, and I'm doing it alone, and I feel like I'm making a really big girl decision. And I bought a house before, but, you know, this house is double the price. You know, I'm making a decision. You know, I bought a house a long time ago, and it was my starter house. Now I'm buying kind of what I'm calling a grown up house. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's the dollars attached to it that has made it kind of scary doing it.
Not the dollars attached to it. It's your thoughts about it that are making it scary.
Okay.
Right. Because
I don't know what that thoughts are though. I don't know if the thoughts are to work on them. That's
okay. So we can talk about, let me get my board real quick. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so what did you say your feelings were again? That you know you're feeling.
I had two feelings, very mm-hmm. distinct feelings, disappointment and fear.
Okay. And you just mentioned being scared again, right?
Yeah.
So let's just go with fear first.
Okay.
And, you know, buying a house is the circumstance, right?
Right.
And you may want to be more specific up here, like, you know, the amount of money or something like that, where you can really practice seeing that circumstance as totally neutral, where it's just an amount of money. Because you said a minute ago, you're still thinking it's that amount of money that is causing fear. It's that this is a big purchase. I mean, that can go into, that's in the T line. You're seeing this is a big purchase as a fact.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
But it's not, right? Right. No, it's just it's a purchase. Not.
It's a thought. Yep,
it's just totally a purchase.
Right.
So, I mean, you could say that, you know, a purchase of a candy bar versus a purchase, that's probably not the best example, but the purchase of, you know, something, you know, I don't know. I can't think of anything you would purchase. A pair of shoes. Thank you. Is went totally blank. Is smaller than a purchase of a house. That is a fact. That's something all of us could agree on. I mean, there's probably a few pairs of shoes that are super expensive, but it's, you know, but that's the fact that this is a big purchase as your thought about it,
mm-hmm.
just to kind of remind yourself. But the simplest question here is to just ask yourself when you're journaling or whatever, when I feel scared, why? Why do I feel scared right now? What am I afraid of? What's the worst that could happen?
I'm afraid of if I make the wrong decision by buying this house. I think that's really what it is.
So it's something like I might be making the wrong decision.
Yeah.
So I want you to kind of, you know, go there. Like, I want you to kind of embody this fear right now. Kind of like what we've done at camp, right? Where you think about the physical sensations and things like that. Like, you know, kind of what are you feeling right
like
now?
When you said that, I quickly did this thing that we do at camp, and my chest got real tight, mm-hmm. and my breathing seemed labored. It is labored. So mm-hmm. yes, I can feel that fear of, I can feel the physical manifestations of that thought. Yes, I can, which is my tightness in my chest.
Okay. So when you make the wrong decision, kind of go deeper. So you make the wrong decision, then what?
I think I'm going to be embarrassed. I think that's like, I think it's really, I'm afraid of what people will think of me, mm-hmm. that I just made a boneheaded decision. Like I spent X amount of dollars on this house and I made a mistake. So I don't really know. Ooh, it goes to, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm maybe not as competent as I think I am. So it goes in like, now I can see it just spiraling, like mm-hmm. those thoughts. It's really about, ooh, wow, it just hit me. I don't trust myself. Mm-hmm. Do I trust myself? The question is, Leah, do you trust yourself to make this purchase? And maybe that's what I'm doubting, if I'd really trust myself to do this.
Do you trust yourself?
I thought I did, but this has triggered some questions. If I do, I think I trust myself when, like I said, if the thought is it's minor or smaller, I trust myself. But if it's bigger, maybe I don't. And that's the thought I need to work. That's what I need to work on, is mm-hmm. trusting myself, regardless of the amount of money. I have to get comfortable with trusting myself.
Mm-hmm. Cause I mean, think about other decisions that you've made where you trust yourself, and maybe even think of a decision you've made that, you know, right now, maybe you would make a different decision, right? But you trusted yourself at the time and right. you thought it was the right decision at the time, and you're still here to talk about it. You survived, and you know, you're okay, and you're not, you know, homeless or anything like that. So it's like, you know, even if it is the wrong decision, you'll be okay.
I just thought about something. The other major decision that I did, that I trusted my instinct in, even though people may have thought otherwise, it was not a good decision, is when I took the job in New York City. I mean, I sold my house, my car, and I just pick up and left. And that was a big decision. I was disrupting my whole life. But there was something in me that knew that that was the right thing for me. And I trusted my instinct to make this move. And it turned out to be the best decision I could have ever made. So I just need to kind of tap into that mm-hmm. I, in the past, I've made big decisions and I've trusted myself and it's been okay.
And what if there is no such thing as right or wrong decisions? There's just decisions that I make at the time.
Right. And this is a decision I'm making now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust myself. When I made the decision to go under contract, I felt like this was the house for me. Mm-hmm. I really felt it in my heart. And I think that when the inspection came back, I mean, I was dramatic. I was a Latin and dramatic. I was very dramatic about it, because after I calmed myself down, even my boss was like, "Hey, you're in Dallas. It's clay. It shifts. You know, it's not a big deal." Like I made it into the inspection wasn't perfect. So clearly I've just made the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I did. I was looking for that one piece of evidence that I was wrong.
Right. Because you were still having that thought, I might be making the wrong decision. And so your brain is looking for evidence. It's scanning the environment wow. all the time. And it's like, okay. Oh, there it is. Oh, there's the reason yep. Okay. Cause you know, your brain is it's just like a machine. It's looking to prove your thoughts true all the time. It's scanning its environment all the time.
I think you're right. That is the thought. That's exactly the thought. I may be making the wrong decision. So then what's the effective model look like?
Okay. Let me get another marker here.
Okay.
So, I mean, first off, I just, you know, and just for everybody, I kind of want to finish out this model, right?
Okay.
So overeat, you know, also, are you doing anything else for the ineffective model?
No, it was just a stormy.
Okay. And then your result is, you know, you're making
and I kind of use wrong in quotes here. You're making wrong decisions all over the place, with right?
With what?
You're making wrong decisions all over the place.
I am, you know? Because I'm making decisions that are not to my benefit when it comes right. to my plan. Yeah.
Right, right. And I'm so, you could ask yourself all the time. I mean, you know, an amazing question to ask yourself all the time is like, how is this, you know, how is this a right decision? Or how is this the best decision for me? Or why am I making this decision? Or, you know, just really kind of getting to know yourself and, you know, you've got your gut that's backing you up, you know, that this is the right decision for you. But it's like, now it's time to work on scanning your environment on how is this the best decision for me?
Okay.
You know, and kind of get out of that right and wrong stuff. So how do you want to feel about this decision? Start with the feeling.
Okay. I want to feel, the word that comes to mind is just peace, that I know that this is the decision, that I'm in a good place. I feel peaceful about it.
So you said, I know this is the decision. What? Because that would be your thought, right?
The thought is, this is the best decision for me. This, pursuing the purchase of this house, because I signed an amendment last night or this morning, extending the option period. So the issues that were brought to light from the inspection, the seller is wanting additional time to address, to do her own, get her own quotes to address those issues. So it's not like it's a done deal, you know. So there's still more involved in it. But my thought is this, I still believe that this is the right house for me. So I'm going to work through the process. I mean, that's pretty much where I am right now. The thought is, I think this is the best, this house is the best choice for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want to take you somewhere because I think you can handle it. So, okay. So what if something happens and this falls through?
Actually, Christy Turtle Stewart actually brought this up. Maybe the lesson is that I could make what I perceive in my mind hard decisions, that this is really teaching me to trust myself and that I can handle, like you just said, it's just a decision, or it's just a purchase, like making this neutral for me. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the whole purpose of this. If this house does not happen, mm-hmm. maybe my takeaway is that to make the purchase of a house neutral. I think that,
that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing up here, right? I mean, right. The purchase, the amount of money, the inspection that came back, and all of that is all up here in the C line.
But I think the biggest part is I want to trust myself. Because, you know, I start off looking in this price range, ended up in a higher price range, and I was comfortable doing it because I even said this to the Hot Mess Express one morning mm-hmm. in a Marco Polo. I said, and it made me tear up because I said, I trust myself, guys. I trust myself that this is okay. And that was like big.
And I think would be really good for you to explore. What does it mean for me to trust myself? You know, what does that mean for me to trust myself when, and it's not just that things will go perfectly, right? Or it's not that at all. It's that whatever happens, I will be okay.
That's what I want. That's exactly mm-hmm. what I want. And if it comes, this house doesn't, you know, turn out the way I want it to, maybe that's this was the catalyst to make me focus on this issue, that I trust myself regardless of the outcome. And I know
you could even take yourself there and you could say in the C line, you know, this house, I don't end up buying this house or whatever. Right.
Right.
And you can go ahead and decide ahead of time how you want to think about it.
Right.
You know, and prepare yourself. Because, you know, you never know and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, and you don't, but it's like, you don't want to, we call it future casting. You don't want to like worry about that, but you right. just want to prepare yourself. But it all goes back to that. I trust myself. And what that means is that whatever happens in my life, I make the decision that I know is best, that I believe in my gut is best at the time. And it will either, you know, it will work out no matter what. And what working out means is that it goes the way I think. And if it doesn't, I have learned something and I move forward and, you know, I'm either, you know, I love, like, I'm either winning or learning. You know, I either get the house or I don't get it and I learn something and I move forward and it just wasn't, you know, meant to be. So it can be all good no matter what happens.
I never thought about that way. I'm either winning or learning. Wow. That's pretty powerful. Just that simple sentence.
You're either winning or learning. And that can be, you know, that can be applied to overeats. That can be applied to anything that a lot of us now think as just like bad or negative things happening. And it's like, no, every single experience in your life, even, you know, things like abuse or things like, you know, losing money or things like, you know, all of that kind of stuff, it can be, you know, it can be a learning experience. We can decide to think whatever we want about experiences in our lives. And they just made us who we are today. And that's, you know, and we're just living life and figuring things out and we're okay. We're still alive. We're still here. And just, we're just going to keep learning. And that's what the good stuff is that we're still here figuring things out day after day and we're not quitting.
Yeah, I'm not quitting. I just, that's why I want to jump on a call because I needed to kind of get my thoughts back in line because I was journaling, but I was still coming up like with the blog, but I didn't realize the thought was I may be making the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get there. So,
well, there is an amazing podcast, the Life Coach School podcast called Being Decisive. I don't know the number, but if you look for the Being Decisive podcast, she talks a lot about there are no right or wrong decisions. It's always just a decision. I mean, that was a game changer for me because so many of us live in fear that we have made the wrong decision or we've made, you know, what's going to happen. And it's just like when you can really believe in your bones that there's no such thing as right or wrong decisions, there's just the decision that we make, then, like I said, no matter what happens, we're all good. We're all good. So, yeah. So listen to that too. Being decisive.
Okay. I will.
All right. Well, okay. So when you feel peace, what are you going to be doing or not doing?
I will be making, if I feel peace, then I'm practicing self-love. I'm taking self-care, really. I'm really in self-care. And this is not with eating. It's just the way I talk to myself, how I'm interacting in the world.
Yeah. You're not overeating, but you're just learning and figuring out how you can, you know, can just move forward with whatever happens.
Right.
And, so yeah, I mean, that sounds pretty peaceful to me. So.
Yeah. And the result that I feel amazing.
Yes. Yes. And you always make the best decisions for you. You always make the best decisions. I mean, that's an amazing thought, right? I always make the best decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just decide to think that.
Well, I'm going to start thinking that.
Okay.
As of today, I'm either winning or
learning. Either winning or learning.
I love it.
All right.
Thanks, Betsy.
I'll talk to you later. Okay.
Bye.
Okay, Robin. You got to turn your audio on. It should be down in the lower left-hand corner. Okay. You on your computer. There you are.
Okay. It was a little weird. I know you said that to her, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I do this? But then it popped up, so.
It's a new thing for Zoom where y'all have got to do that, and we can't unmute you anymore, so. All right. What's going on?
So, you Mary and I've seen my post in the tribe yesterday. But in general, I've just been having like a lot of issues lately with like my anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I kind of said it to me, it's been off the charts because I'm having physical manifestations. Like, I've had heart palpitations probably for like, gosh, 30 years on and off. They're benign. I've been tested multiple times, but I've just noticed more lately they've been acting up. I'm like, I, some nights I'll go to bed, I hear them, I can't sleep, you know? So I'm like, okay, great. And my daughter's like, well, mom, it could be hormonal. You know, you are at that age. And, so I'm thinking about, well, you know, what can I do? Blah, blah. And, you know, Corinne, of course, hits the nail on the head as always.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask her what she said, cause I know she did a post, right?
Yeah, she did. I'm pulling it up here.
Okay.
So basically she said, read what you wrote. I'm stressed about things. You know, first step to reducing anxiety triggers is to remind yourself it's not the things causing them. You intellectually get it, but emotionally you're holding on to these things that, you know, if they change, I'll feel different. That's not happening. So of course I'm trying, it's setting my brain up to work on the world instead of on me. You know, of course, I try to deal with circumstances.
Right.
And I guess some of the things I noticed that it's like kind of going back to December, you know, when I lost my job at the end of November, you know, I injured myself in December, you know, I kind of felt like I went into this, I don't know what a good word, a cocoon, like, you know, great, you know, I put all these great goals out there and now they're going to shit. And, you know.
So that's what you got to work on, right? Because I mean, that's a thought.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally it is. And yeah.
And so that's what you got to focus on. Cause I mean, you know, we could talk about all the stuff in terms of
right.
your injury, your job, all that stuff, but it's all going to shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's and, it was just basically like, I've been getting back out there, you know, doing what I got to do. And like I was saying, the chatter in my head is just crazy because I'm so worried about I'm slow again and I'm this and I'm that again, all thoughts, but you know, it's mm-hmm. what's going through my head. And it's just really frustrating because I usually don't have these problems like when I'm running and stuff. So anyways, a couple of things she mentioned was, I have to start with not believing it. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready for the positive. I don't need more models. I was like, really? And, you know, the problem is you keep allowing yourself to think bullshit without countering it with a true story. And she gave a couple of examples, what I kind of deemed as laddering, you know, she gave the example, like I'm lonely is one story. I'm determined to find connections another. So I guess where I'm kind of figuring, okay, so how do I work through this? Obviously, like bottles aren't going to help. And basically my impression was, is that working on laddering thoughts, would I do that through a TDL, like work on the thoughts, you know, and my TDL is another problem. You know, this is, I tend to use them as a weapon, you know, so.
Okay, let's erase the model, right? She said no model.
She said models aren't going to help. I'm like, what?
But here's the thing. So you can write it as a list. You can write it as a story because it really is like Robin's story. Right now about, you know, it's like once upon a time, Robin lost her job and she had a injury and, you know, or like you can say it, you know, first person, all this stuff happened to me and, you know, you can lay all that out there and then it's like, this is what I made it mean that my whole life is going to shit, that what else?
I'm not going to be able to get to my goals. I'm making less money now. You know, I'm a failure, whatever.
Yes. So I want you to get all that crappy, just dive into that dirty diaper and write you your big old story right now.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. then what I want you to do is, you know, kind of what we do with TDLs, and that's just like a big TDL. Go back and underline all the facts. And for you, the facts would be, I lost my job. I injured this. And then, so you can really, I mean, anything else that is just a fact that every, you know, the circumstance, you know what a circumstance is. Mm-hmm. Everything else are your thought, usually your thoughts. There are probably a few feelings in there too. And you can talk about your anxiety and all of that. But anxiety is a feeling, right? And, and I mean, and when you talk about your mind going just nonstop, you know, when you have that anxiety, what is your mind telling you? I mean, it's telling you things and it's probably all this stuff that you've already talked about, but it's just a matter of getting it. It's your story running.
Mm-hmm.
When you lay there, you know, if you're laying there awake, then wake up, I mean, get up and write about it, you know, get it out on the paper. You know, that doesn't mean it's going to disappear from your mind, but
no.
Getting it out and seeing it on paper and seeing how ridiculous some of it is. And I say that because, you know, we all have ridiculous stuff going through our minds, right? And that can really calm it down in the moment. But it's just a matter of, we all crave a story, right? That we can kind of live by. And so the first step is that we have to know the story that we're living by right now. And I call it, we call it a story because it's not necessarily factual or true.
No. And I kind of feel like I feel like I'm in this epic battle between myself and my mind and my brain, and my brain, you know, it's like pushing and pushing, and it's like, hey,
and
yeah.
That's part of your story, that this is a battle, that this is a fight, that this is, you know, this is like push and pull. That's part of your story. And so far it's worked for you because you think, and again, this is all part of the story, but like, you know, it's stronger than me right now.
Yeah. And it's like, I sit there and say, that's crap. But yet at the same time, it's like, like you say, I know what to do, but yet then at the end of the day, I don't do it because, you know, I think that deep down it's like, well, what's the point? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe this is just what your life's going to be. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just need to get used to it and be okay with it. And it's like, no, that's a bunch of bullshit. This is not what I'm not willing to just settle with this. You know, there's no reason I can't do the things I've set for goals, like with my, you know, injuring my hip. I mean, my physical therapist is like, this is what your problem is. This is what you need to work on. There's no reason you can't do these things. But yet my brain still goes into that, like, rah, 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 rah. You know, that's just an example. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, of course.
Why don't you, you got this whole story, but why aren't you just doing the stuff, you know? Here's the thing. This is what I like to think about is like, there are people out there that are still overweight. They've tried Weight Watchers. I mean, you know, we've all been there, right? They're lost. They're roaming around and they're looking for the thing that will finally work for them.
Mm-hmm.
How fortunate are we? How lucky are we that we know what to do? Because there's so many people out there who do not, still don't know what we know. Sometimes I think we walk around with this like magical secret, you know, that, and that's why I went into coaching, because I want to spread the word. It's not a secret, you know, it is, but how fortunate are we that we know the actions to take and we just don't, we decide not to take them. Mm-hmm. It's like we own this secret, you know, potion, and we're just pouring it out, you know, and not, you know, using it and not benefiting from it.
Mm-hmm.
And just because there's a little discomfort.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that, like you say, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And that's where I think I'm getting those physical manifestations because I'm not dealing with whatever it is. And I guess I just kind of sat up and thought about it. It's like, you know, I kind of realized when I started spiraling and I wasn't grabbing it and stopping it.
Mm-hmm. Because you have the power to grab it and stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but here's the thing, that's going to be uncomfortable for a little while. And there's going to be a lot of times you don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. That's all that is between you and every single dream you ever want in your life.
Right. Yep.
A little bit of not wanting to and a little bit of, and then it's over with. I mean, really? Like, I mean, and I'm saying that to think that to myself. I'm saying that to everyone, right?
Right.
That's it.
It's like, and that's what kills me. It's like, how hard is it to grab this and write for 5 minutes? But yet I just sit there and look at it. like, oh, I got other things. And it's not even that. It's like conscious, like, no, this is what I need to do. And I set it all up. And then I think my brain's just like, no, we don't need to do that. And it's like, you're not even really aware of it, you know, because you're so used to just floating mm-hmm. along with life. And yet life just floats away from you. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, you know, I see everybody else like hitting this goal and that goal, and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I'm like, whoa.
So what do you think they're doing? What do you think? Do you think they're these magical unicorns?
No.
What are they doing?
They're doing what they need to do. And it doesn't necessarily mean that's what I need to do, because they do what works for them.
But what are they, like, on a, you know, on a bigger scale, what are they doing that we can all do?
You know, they're writing their plans, they're doing their TDLs, they're doing recovery sheets and talking food. But even in general, you know, from a fitness standpoint, you know, they're just getting out there and doing it. You know, they're TDLing when they're having personal issues in their lives that, you know, have something to do
with. Okay, let's talk about your specific example. When they sit down with their journal and their brain goes, no, we got all this other stuff to do.
They're picking it up and doing it anyways. Yeah. Yeah. And exactly. That's right. I mean, they're doing the work and not just writing it down. They're actually like, okay, this is what I've got for today. And this is what I need to do today.
And what if they don't want to one day?
Well, they're doing it anyways.
And what if their brain says, no, we need to say, I mean, you know,
they're moving past it. Mm-hmm. In all areas. And I'm not even talking just P&P people. I mean, I'm talking like just people in general in my life. They're just out there doing what they need to do. And they're not worried about what everybody else is doing.
What? So maybe you're the magical unicorn. How are you different than all these other people?
How am I different than all them?
Mm-hmm. Why aren't you doing that? Doing what they're doing?
Good question. That's a good question.
I want you to answer it. I got 8% on my computer. I got to run and get my charger. So this computer's just going to die while I'm waiting for the answer to that question.
I think they're just, you know, they're doing whatever they have planned for their plan. Whatever they're doing it, I guess is what I'm saying.
And so when talk about you, what would you do if you were like them?
I would just get out there and do what I had to do and not, you know, sit there and interiorly whine about it, you know?
And that's the story I want you to write. Once you get all this dirty diaper story out, mm-hmm. This is Robin's. So, you know, Robin's new story.
And it can be more than one new story, right?
Oh, you can have as many as you want in every scenario you want, whatever you want. You can pick every single situation. And like when they bring, you know, bless your heart, like Corinne is going to use the example of, what is it? Hot Wing Friday or whatever with you for the rest of
I haven't heard this one, obviously.
So when they bring food into work, this is
that
story. Oh, yes. So when they, when I sit down at my journal and my brain tells me this is my new story.
Yeah, this is true. And that's another thing. They got the hot wings and the donuts and everything else. Like, my God, these people in my office eat all day. You know, they're just walking past it and doing their thing. And it's not that I'm not. I'd say I'm about 50-50 right now, which is better than what I was. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, it's got to be like, if it ain't written down in my plan, it ain't going in my mouth.
That's your story. That's Robin's new story. If it ain't on my plan, ain't going in my mouth.
Yep. Yep.
All okay. Those, I mean, but it's, I want it to be a book of every scenario, and then you come up, you know, you experience new scenarios, and it's like, okay, this is my new story I'm living.
And like Corinne said, obviously kind of laddering it because I can't just go from Big yeah. Macs to broccoli.
Right.
Because otherwise my brain will call bullshit. She knows that. But, I mean,
if it's not on my plan, I'm not eating it. That covers a lot, right? That covers anything right. you want to eat.
Right.
And that's why we make it like that, because it doesn't have to be broccoli.
No.
And then you can always add, I mean, Robin's new story can be, you know, I'm working on believing this stuff. You know, I keep thinking that I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And that's okay. You know, it's okay for my brain to think things and to think that I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. So all that laddering language, you know, that we use where it's, I'm working on believing, my brain keeps telling me this and that's okay. You know, it's all about that being really compassionate with yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I want to hear about Robin's new story.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, I mean, just somewhere, or you can get back on here next Saturday or whatever. But at some point, I want you to tag me and just let me know what you learned. But I want you to do the old story
mm-hmm. and the new story.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty.
I got to go get my
get your
battery now. Okay. 3%, 4%. Okay.
Oh, okay. Thanks. All
right. Talk to you later. Bye. All right. Y'all be right. I did not record that. I've been pausing the recording. Hey. All right. Well, that's okay. Whoever got to listen to Amber live, they got to do it because I forgot to unpause the recording when I went to go get the charger. That's okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm
good. Good. You look so fresh and like freshly scrubbed.
I know. I am fresh. Yes. This is good. I'm in the middle of my makeup. So, but I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and get on real quick. Yes. I don't know. I'm going to throw a lot at you and you just pick up what you want to throw at me. I have been at the same weight for 2 weeks, which is cracking me up. Every day I get on the scale and I get off and I'm like, what in the world? I don't know. And somebody posted today and about the same issue and somebody said, hey, you should watch the Conquering the Scale. And I hadn't watched it in a long time. So I watched it and that was really good. But, you know, the thoughts in my head are just so crazy. I've just been, I don't want to say overwhelmed. I just feel I'm torn in so many directions right now. I've been extremely busy at work and working a lot of hours. I've got 2 kids graduating in 2 months. If they survive, if we all survive, because they've got senioritis really bad. Mm-hmm. My 15-year-old girl is lost her mind as well. My husband works a lot and it's been crazy and I'm pulled in all these directions. A good thing is I've been working on my hunger scale. I've mm-hmm. cut out breakfast. I'm basically eating lunch and then a snack. I'm not even eating dinner. Mm-hmm. I'm walking 30 minutes a day still. I'm getting that in. But mm-hmm. the scale's not moving. And I'm like, okay, am I just going to have to quit eating? I don't even understand because I've already cut my food down so much.
Yeah.
I feel like I do need to. I went shopping with one of my girls the other day and tried on clothes. I'm like, you got to start working out. Mm-hmm. Your body's not going to change shape if you don't work out. And so I got very discouraged about that and feel motivated. But if I have any downtime right now, I just want to sit and do nothing. Mm-hmm. Now I need to figure out how to motivate myself to get moving.
Okay. So I hear a lot. So the first thing that kind of came to mind was, I mean, you talked about all this stuff that's going on, right? And you're all these things that you are kind of choosing to feel stressed about, right? Because of thoughts that you're having with kids graduating and work and all of that kind of stuff. And cortisol is like a real thing, that stress hormone. And it will prevent you from losing weight. If you are feeling stress, your body has to work to cope with that. And that's what it does with that cortisol. And so that's definitely kind of number one in terms of, you know, all the stuff that you talked about with, oh my gosh, these markers, with work, you know, kids, all that is the C, right? And you're feeling stress. So whatever is in here is what you got to work on, you know? And because I think you're right. I think the food is dialed in. I mean, you're continuing to listen to your hunger scale and all that kind of stuff. But if your body is fighting off, you know, stress, it's just going to hold on. And when you said you got on the scale and you were talking, you know, you're just seeing the same number. I've really been working a lot around my thoughts around the scale. And when I see the number now, it's just like, okay, this is how my body is taking care of me today. This is how my body is kind of helping me today, is that it is, you know, it is just holding steady because it is working on whatever I'm giving it to work on. And right now you are giving it a lot of stress to work on.
Well, and I do tell myself after I crack up, you know, at least I'm learning to maintain.
Yes.
It was 10 to 20 pounds less,
mm-hmm.
You know, but I never thought I could stay at the same exact number for 2 weeks, you know, and it not change any days. So mm-hmm.
It's like you can really think of it in a total positive way. Like my body is maintaining because it is like doing what it needs to do right now to utilize my food and to deal with my stress and all of that. Like it's almost like we see either gaining or maintaining as this really bad thing. But I mean, for our weight to just kind of stay that way, I see that as, you know, kind of we've reached this homeostasis level where what we're feeding it and what we're asking it to do and, you know, is all kind of in sync. And so now it's like, okay, what do I need to kind of adjust to get it out of that homeostasis, out of that kind of comfort level? And so let me ask you, so what do you need to adjust at this point? Because there's obviously something you need to tweak. And what would be number one?
Cutting out the sweets that I put on my plan every day. Probably I allow myself a cookie or candy.
You didn't mention those.
Well, it's on my plan.
I know. I'm giving you a hard time.
I know. But I mean, my food could probably for sure be leveled up.
Okay.
But, and that's one thing I was thinking today. I'm like, well, I'm eating whatever I want right now and maintaining this weight, even though it's not the number I want. I'm not, you know, suffering and, and denying myself certain foods, you know, and so that is a plus, but, I'm sure that I could probably make some,
but we're not talking about, and I'm kind of looking at your face and it's like, you know, we're not talking about taking, you know, it's not a matter of taking all the cookies away every day, right?
No, I don't need a cookie every day.
Yeah.
I think I do, but
it's not like, but it's also not like, you know, you never get to eat a cookie again. I mean, it's just, okay, what can you tweak to, you know, to not feel deprived, but to feel right. Curious, to feel open to figuring this out, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so just, you don't want to come from a place of deprivation and that, and, you know, and scarcity and that kind of stuff. It's, I'm going to figure this out. You know, that's a thought that Corinne talks about all the time, that I use all the time. And that, for me, that's curiosity, that's willingness to tweak things and being okay with just playing around and kind of trial and error and not being it being perfect and things like that.
Right. Okay. So. Okay.
But for you, I mean, especially with everything that you have going on, it's like, I don't want you to try to, I mean, and the other thing about, I want you to try one thing, because the thing about, you know, adjusting a bunch of stuff is that you don't know what caused, you know, when the scale does start going down, you don't know what caused it, right? And so that's when, so you want to just change one thing at a time and then try that. And I'm talking about try that for a couple weeks, not just a few days.
Okay.
And just, you know, adjust your sweets for a couple of weeks and see, you know, because it takes time for your body to adjust and respond.
Okay. I can do that. Okay. And then, you know, I decided I'm going to just make myself commit to myself for 6 weeks mm-hmm. to work out 20 minutes, mm-hmm. two times a week, doing weights
mm-hmm.
Or yoga. But the, you know, then today when I was writing all that down, I was like, oh, but if you start doing weights, then you're going to, the scale's going to go up because you're starting to build some muscle and hold on to that water. And so that's not going to work, even though I know logically it's going to work in the long run, that immediate fear, you know,
and that's where you focus on the non-scale victories, right? And you focus on non-scale stuff. So I want you to, you know, measure yourself today. And, you know, so measurements, other things in terms of, you know, how you're feeling. And I mean, right. I know when I lift weights and stuff, I feel really good physically in terms of just, you know, I feel strong and that kind of stuff. But other, you know, what are some other non-scale victories that you can focus on? And that's all in that conquering the scale, which, by the way, I saw that post and I didn't think that course was even up anymore. Because we had kind of folded that course into No BS.
Yeah.
And
she posted a link. So I just went to the link.
Yeah. Somebody found a secret link. So.
Yeah, because Chris still had the purple hair. So it's been a while ago.
It's an old one. Yeah. So no one worry about conquering the scale because all of that is, you know, is part of No BS now. So okay. Still, I mean, it's fine. But yeah, so it's just. It's like that's definitely folded now into the Fat Girl Thinking module and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's about the non-scale victories for sure.
Okay. And looking at that model, what keeps popping in my head, that box is mm-hmm. just everybody needs stuff from me all the time and I can't catch a break. Mm-hmm. And so that's what thought I need to be working on.
And so that's something else you can work on at the same time, you know, as tweaking your food and things like that, where, you know, when you are working on your thoughts, then, you know, you're not feeling as much stress, then that's going to allow your body to kind of focus on weight loss instead of just handling your stress.
Okay.
And keeping you just functioning and going. And so, yeah, it's like the thought work can be going on kind of all the time with stuff, but then but again, with, you know, kind of physical things, you want to just kind of try one thing at a time. But I mean, you've got a good plan. You can do the weights, you can do the, you know, the sweets, cutting out some of the sweets, and then your thought work on that, because yeah, I mean this is going to be a game changer for sure.
Okay.
It's just, you know, really becoming aware of what thoughts are going on that are creating all this stress. Because that's what your body is doing, is it's just holding on to weight because it's trying to deal with all this stress you've got going on.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Okay. All right. Talk to you later. All right.
Bye.
Bye. All right. We got Melissa and Elizabeth. Hi. Let's see, there you are. And you'll need to do join audio. It should come up on the bottom. Maybe if you tap on your phone, it should come up. Are you there?
There you are.
Let's see. Oh, I think I can unmute you now. Maybe. Okay. Are you there? No, I can't hear you. Try again. Does it say join audio down there? Oh, I hear you, I think.
How about now?
I can hear you, but I can't see you now. There you are. Okay. Okay. Now we've got audio and video. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, what's going on?
So I joined in September and the light bulb just has not gone off for me with the models. And I do journal every morning, 2 to 5 minutes. So, and I think that's part of the thing that I'm a little confused about is the difference between journaling and thought downloads that run into a model.
Okay. So there really is no difference between a thought download in a journal just in itself. A thought download is just a brain dump. And that's why it's called a thought download. It's just writing what is in your brain. And you can call that journaling if you want to. It's just what's going on. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What's going on in terms of the, you know, the circumstances, what are the facts of the situation, just writing all of that out. So there's nothing, there's no special format, there's no special thing to do in terms of a thought download. And then what you do with a thought download is, and I was talking to Robin about doing this earlier, is that you go through and you underline all the facts of what you've written. And so it's the facts. I mean, you know, something that everyone would agree on. I weigh this amount. My husband said this to me in direct quotes, you know, all that kind of stuff. You underline all of that. And then whatever is left is usually thoughts that you can then put into the model.
Okay.
And so do you kind of have an example or do you have a specific question?
Well, like, I tend, when I get tired, mm-hmm. everything goes out the window. I don't make a plan. Mm-hmm. I don't eat 2 to 2. I tried very hard to do the 7 hours of sleep mm-hmm. and my water, like those I have nailed. Mm-hmm. But when I have a day where I decide that I'm going to sleep in a little bit more mm-hmm. because I feel tired and I don't do my plan, and then it's like the slippery slope that I fall right down to the bottom of the hill almost. And I don't do a plan for probably a week. And then I go, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And I get back on track. And then, okay. So it's very cyclic.
Right, right. And that's really what the model is that it's a cycle. I mean, you could really see it as kind of a circle. So for you, let's just go ahead and model what you just talked about there. Because that was really just like an oral thought download that you just did right there.
Okay.
So you said you're feeling, Ilse, you said you're, you slept in. So that will be our circumstance. So the circumstance could be like you slept until what time when you say you slept in?
5:30.
Okay. So again, what's interesting to point out is that like your circumstance would not be slept in because for a lot of people, me included, sleeping in, it is not until 5:30, right?
Right.
And so you have to be as specific as you can in the circumstance line. And so slept until 5:30. So that is the fact. That's something everyone could agree on. You could prove to us that you slept until 5:30. Mm-hmm. And so you also talked about you. So on that day, you didn't follow your plan, right?
Right.
And what we really want to focus on are these two lines here. So when you slept until 5:30, what were you thinking about or what were you feeling that led you to not follow your plan that day?
Well, I definitely felt like I didn't have time to make a plan in order to follow it because I usually try to get up early to make sure I have time to write my plan.
Okay. So it could be something like, I don't have time. When you think I don't have time, how do you feel?
Usually tired.
Mm-hmm. It can be tired.
Yeah.
It can, you know, for others, it could just be, you know, you feel rushed. You feel, yeah. You could feel confused because you're out of your routine. It could be, kind of defeated. Like, I know a lot of times when I don't get up, when I'm planning on getting up, my thoughts go to, well, the day is shot, the day's screwed, yep. You know.
I have the F it moments for yes. sure.
F it, you know, I might as well just start, you know, try it again tomorrow.
Yep.
And that can be defeated, you know, in there. Mm-hmm. So it's, those are kind of all the, you know, and you want to do kind of one thought and one feeling at a time, but, you know, you definitely want to get clear on what thoughts, you know, and feelings are going on here that led you to, you didn't follow your plan. And then your result is, so your result always goes back up and proves this thought true because your brain is always looking for a way to prove your thoughts true. And so your result here would be you don't have time to lose weight. and, you know, to make a plan or lose weight, right? I mean, I know there's a little glare there. So, and this is the cycle that I'm talking about where you, and you were saying how it's cyclical, right? Where you think I don't have time, you feel tired, you don't do you don't do the basics, what you know you need to do. That proves your thought true. You don't have time. And then you go right back up to the cycle over and over again.
Yep.
So that's how the model works. Do you have any questions about that?
No, I don't think so.
So it's a matter of just, you know, the first step is, because again, this is just one of the thoughts you had, but you also had F it. You also had, you know, the day is shot, you know, you also, you know, whatever thoughts, and that's what comes out in your thought downloads. Mm-hmm. When, you know, okay, when I woke up at 5:30, you know, you can kind of use a little prompt. Like when I woke up, these were all the thoughts that were going on in my head. And you just write them out. You can write them out in a list. It doesn't have to be a fancy paragraph. A lot of times my thought downloads are just lists of thoughts that are popping up into my head.
Okay.
And so there aren't any rules around what it's supposed to look like. And then, like I said, you go back and then figure out that fact, you know, for the circumstance. And then, you know, start filling in the blanks, and you don't have to fill them in order, in any kind of order. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, sometimes you want to start from the results. Sometimes you want to start from the feeling, you know, it's really just, up to you. So let's just kind of, and this is, you know, what we call the unintentional model. This is the one that's not, you know, not working for you. It's not creating the result that you want. Mm-hmm. And so what could you have thought differently when you woke up late that day, when you slept in?
A 24-hour plan takes 30 seconds to write.
Yeah. And like, there is still hope for this day, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's one of the best things Corinne said one time was, you are one decision away from changing your life. And you can decide that the day is shot, or you can decide, you know what, I can still do my plan and the rest of the day is right back on track. And so that's why this, you know, your thoughts are just so key to everything that you do.
Okay.
All right. You got it?
I think so.
And you can always post and ask coaches too. We always have folks who are posting their models in there. And, you know, if you have just kind of come up against a roadblock and you don't know if it looks right, or if you can't figure out where to keep going, then just post in there and we can give you some feedback in there as well.
Okay.
Okay. Great. All right.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye. All right. Elizabeth and Christy, y'all will probably be the last two. Let's see. It's over at, 2:00 Central Time, Christy. So we should have time. I should have time for you. Yeah, so it's over at 2:00 Central Time. You may be on Eastern Time. Hey, look at you at the gym. Hey. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Can you hear me okay? Oh my goodness, I'm at the gym, so my signal might not be coming in so well.
I can see you and hear you, so you're good.
Okay, great. I'm going to go hide in a bathroom. Okay. Oh my gosh, I just hopped off the treadmill. Okay. All right. Might get a little echoey. I want to thank you. This is my third coaching call with you, and I just love your advice. I think you're amazing. And I've heard the last few, there's been a couple of either lives or coaching calls, office hours that you've done where you've talked about your own binging.
Yes.
And it's been really, really helpful for me. And I just thank you for opening up about that and being so vulnerable with us. But it's interesting because the process you described, I was like, oh my gosh, that's me. Mm-hmm. Like when you say you wake up and you have this kind of prickly feeling and you're not sure where it's coming from, and then it morphs into a plan during the day, and then, you know, you may or may not carry out that plan. I think the only thing we differ on is getting in the car and going to get food. I don't drive to get anything. I just kind of look around the house and see what's there.
Well, I pretty much cleared out almost everything because, I mean, I don't have kids, and so there's not like you know, stuff that's just sitting around. So yeah, so yeah. I scan, like I, you know, mentally scan the house. And of mm-hmm. course it's Girl Scout cookie time. And Brad is, my husband has bought some Girl Scout cookies. So anyway, you know, but yeah. Yeah. So that can be a little bit different for everybody.
Sure. Yeah. I have two boys, 12 and 8. My house is full of junk food, and it's not typically an issue except when it's an issue.
Right.
And I don't binge often. It probably happens maybe once every other month.
Mm-hmm.
But just hearing you describe it was so helpful for me. I wanted to kind of pick your brain on what thoughts or what have you noticed, like at each step in your process,
mm-hmm.
that kind of pull you back from the process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know, like intellectually, I know, okay, when I'm feeling an urge or feeling a binge, get on with my accountability group, you know, text mm-hmm. a friend, go for a walk. I intellectually know all of that. But when you're in that funk, you know, that's the last thing you want to do. It's just like, F everything, F everybody, this is what I'm doing. So I was just wondering what you found that's been successful for you.
So, so that's such a good question because, yeah, it's like your brain, kind of at the height of an urge like that, your brain is like, there is no other option here, you know,
right.
other than just, we are eating. This is non-negotiable. This is, mm-hmm. That's what I hear my brain doing, you know, just, oh no, this is happening. It's already decided.
Yeah.
And so, what I've done to kind of, I don't want to say combat that, but you know, to kind of just, you know, really work on my thoughts in the moment is that mm-hmm. when I had a really, and I say, you know, I had a really powerful yeah. urge the other day. And I mean, that's my thought about the urge because urges are right. just urges, right? But, I actually let myself, kind of sit, like I kind of pretend I'm glued to wherever I am, whether it is, you know, just sitting on the couch or whatever it is, I just let, you know, if I can, mm-hmm. I just don't do anything. I don't get up. I don't move around because I know that, you know, and I really like to describe urges as waves. Like I am riding a wave like a surfer. And if I just sit there and just ride the wave and let my brain go wherever it's going to go, then, if I don't really kind of change my immediate environment right then I can just let time go by and then, you know, and it creeps by, you know, but if I just let it go by and let myself ride the wave, then I gradually start to feel the water going back out again. And so just really, if I'm able to kind of stop and not try to distract myself, and not mm-hmm. try to do something different and things like that, because that's what we immediately want to do because it's so uncomfortable. And
sure.
so we want to either respond to it with the food or we want to distract. And that's another thing that is really not what we want to do. We want to allow the urge, not distract it, not respond to it, but allow it. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, so that's one thing that I do. Another thing, just in terms of thoughts that I say to myself, mm-hmm. This is temporary. I can always choose to, you know, to not eat. I am always in control. All of those thoughts that I just kind of repeat over and over again. This is just an urge. I mean, and really that really does serve me because even though it feels so much bigger and stronger and more powerful, it's mm-hmm. still just an urge. It's still mm-hmm. just an urge and I kind of like to talk to my brain like, of course you've got an urge right now because it's after dinner and you want something sweet. Of course you do, brain. You're just so predictable. Bless your heart. You're just so predictable. And so like, it's like, you're so boring, brain. Why don't you just try something new on me, you know? And so I kind of have some of that, you know, just kind of funny conversation just to kind of get out of the intensity of it for a minute. Definitely reaching out. And you said, you know, your accountability group, I've got mm-hmm. someone that I can reach out to in that moment. So,
right.
and that is not, you know, that's not distracting because when I reach out to that person and we use Marco Polo, mm-hmm. I say, okay, I am having an urge right now. And these are the thoughts that are having, I'm living the urge. I am, you know, I am embodying it. I'm really just, and so I am talking about it. You know, I'm not trying to distract myself or think about something different. So reaching out, and yeah, so I'm trying to think if there's anything else. And, you know, and again, it's, you know, I'm successful sometimes and I'm not successful sometimes, but, I do know that. And also another thing I do is I think back about my experience. I had a really, really, powerful urge that I, and I think I talked about it on here a few weeks ago about, you know, allowing it. And I think back at that, on that experience, you know, and it might even be good to just, for me to even write about it, for you to, you know, write about that experience and get really as specific as you can on it, because that was such a huge win for me. And if I can kind of take myself back there and say, okay, this is just like that. It's not any different. And you felt so good afterwards. You felt so powerful afterwards. And this is that experience again, and we can do it again because we've done it before.
Yeah, I had an experience recently where I allowed an urge and didn't give in to the urge, but the circumstance was that I wanted to binge, and all the food that I chose to binge on had been in the freezer. I don't want to eat cold food. So I took it out of the freezer, and it was sitting on my countertop for half an hour warming up. And during that 30 minutes, at the end, I was like, I don't even want this anymore. But, you know, I know realistically I can't just shove everything in the freezer all the time.
that's the thing. It's like we should really get to a point where we can literally just have something sitting in front of us.
Yeah.
And ready to go, ready to be eaten. And we are such badass mind ninjas that we can just say, no, I mean, it is, I am in control here. And I am going to, and the other thing that you can, and kind of this is kind of some laddering stuff where this is kind of my, I think maybe kind of my next level of work to do is to stop in the middle of a binge. You know, my brain wants to go to, well, we're doing this, we're doing it right. And we're doing it until either the food is gone or I feel so physically uncomfortable that I can't eat anymore. And if you can, you know, have the, you know, really work on your mind to stop whenever you want to stop. I mean, and you always stop when you want to, right? But to stop when there's really no other reason but to stop, and kind of coming up with a reason other than the food is gone, or, you know, or someone is, if you eat in secret like I do, that someone has come home and I have to hide this and all of that kind of stuff. That's kind of the next level work to do where, okay, I can, you know, have had a binge and I stopped, and then the rest of the day I'm, you know, I'm back at it. I'm back on my plan and I'm not beating myself up and that kind of stuff. So that is kind of a next level work that I'm kind of working on right now.
Yeah, I really like your analogy of riding the wave. It reminds me of when Kathy talks about grief and allowing the grief coming and going in waves. And I have used her technique, you know, recently with the anniversary of my father's passing, and that was so helpful. So I could definitely take that and apply it to the urge, just, you know, ride that urge like a wave. And
it's like, I mean, you're riding it not out of, you know, it's like you think about surfing, right? Like you're totally in control when you're surfing, but you're, you know, you're riding something that is kind of out of your control. So, you know, it's just like you're always in control, but, you know, cause you can, but you can stay on the board or you can jump off. I mean, you know, you can kind of stretch out that metaphor as much as you want. So it's just like, we may not be able to control the thoughts and the urges, but we can control how we respond and, you know, how we ride the way. So yeah, I like that metaphor too, in a lot of different ways. So
yeah, that's really helpful.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you. And I get to meet you in 3 weeks. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. Well, I really appreciate your feedback, and I'm so glad that it's been helping you. And you know, it's like we're all just helping each other. So we are.
Yes. And it's not scary at all anymore coming on these office hours with you. Oh.
No, I don't ever think that I'm scary. So
no, not at all.
All right. Take care. I'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. All right, Christy. Yeah, Christy will be my last one. Okay, yeah, you're Eastern. This will be just, you know, if we go over a little bit, that's okay since we started a little bit late. Hi. So you'll need to do, oh, okay, I can hear you, I think.
Oh, can you see me?
Yes, and I can see you too. Hi. Yes. Hi.
I have little ones, so I'm like in my room now.
Okay.
It's meal prep Saturday here, so good
time. Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
I think I'm making some soup tomorrow. I'm excited. I've got some recipes going. I'm going to go to the store and get some good food going for next week. So,
yeah, we got a pressure cooker or Instapot, and it's been life-changing.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to use mine tomorrow. I love it. Yeah. Love it. So, what's up?
So, I love the program. I love my Marco Polo group. Shout out to Kim, who became Queen's Club today.
Awesome. Way to go, Kim.
Yeah. So, yay her. Yeah. So, I really like, I have a very, scheduled life, mm-hmm. and, I really want to become a better morning person. Like future me loves to get up early, like 4:30, 5 o'clock. Right now I don't have to be at work until 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So I sleep until 7. I've done what, Corinne suggested about, you know, like setting your alarm clock a little bit earlier each mm-hmm. day. And in my mind, I either put my, make the alarm clock part of my dream, or like convince myself I'm going to get up in 5 more minutes. So do you have any like suggestions on ways that I can like work towards like getting up earlier? Like right now I typically get up at like 6:45, 7 o'clock.
So why do you want to get up earlier?
I have a very scheduled life. I have, my kiddos are very active. I'm running for state president of my professional association. I'm a social worker. So.
Oh, yeah, me too. Awesome.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Good time. So I love NASW. Happy yes. Social Work Month. Yeah.
Yes.
So on top of that, like I'm also on top of my full-time job, I'm a adjunct professor, and I'm training for the Dopey Challenge for Disney World in 2020. So I want to use that time to exercise in the morning, to do more journaling. Like I'd rather go to bed earlier than stay up late. But even whenever I do go to bed early, I'm still like not waking up whenever
right.
I want to.
So like you listed a million good reasons on why you should get up. But apparently there is a reason that is better right now for you to not get up. And what would that be?
I love sleep.
Okay.
And I think I know that, Amaka, she's in one of my yes. Marco Polo groups too. We're both obligers if you yes. follow the Gretchen Rubin.
Yes.
So like, I know I don't have to be at work till 9 o'clock. And I'm like in myself, well, you know what? I could stay up past, hey, can you please wait? Mommy's on the phone. Okay. Not right now. Go wait 1 second. Okay. Go. Sorry. Yeah. I know I could actually just stay up later instead of, you know, getting up and being more productive in the morning.
So here's an idea. I mean, you don't have to be at your boss's work until 9 o'clock, but Christy's work begins at what time?
Like
5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So you do have to be at work at 5 o'clock. You have to be at work, you know, working on yourself mm-hmm. at 5 o'clock. I mean, that's a thought you could practice. Like it's time for me to get up and go to work on myself right now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have, you know, you said you live a very scheduled life. If 5 o'clock exercise is on your schedule, and it sounds like you usually oblige, you know, you follow your schedule. Well, if your schedule says get up at 5 and exercise, then that's what you're doing. So, but I mean, for you, I want you to kind of say it. What do you need to say to yourself when you hear that alarm go off to get up? Because right now you're saying, I love sleep. So that's your unintentional thought. That's your thought that's not creating the result you want. Mm-hmm. So what's the new thought going to be? Or you know, and have a million thoughts to choose from.
I love my future self more.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe doing that. Maybe I should go make a list of everything that's more important too.
Yeah. What's more important than sleep? What's more important than sleep? And have that list by your bed. Have that, you know, on your phone when you look at the alarm going off, or, you know, have it somewhere in your face when you are the first thing that you wake up. And, you know, and just you'll get into the habit of, like, when you hear that alarm go off, you know, it's like that Pavlov's dog. We know about that, you know, social workers and everything. It's like, you got to associate that alarm going off with this new thought. And if it's like just a sticky note on your alarm clock or your phone or whatever you use, you know, I'm going to work for Christy right now. It's time to be, you know, at work. And, you know, work on my future self or whatever it is. But, you know, it needs to be like short and to the point. And just to remind you that, you know, and it can be something like, my brain is going to tell me I don't want to get up right now, but I'm doing it anyway. You know, get honest with yourself about, because you know where your brain's going to go first. Mm-hmm. It's going to go to, I want to keep sleeping. I don't want to do this. This is, you know, the alarm bells are going to go off in your brain when you try to get up at 5. And so it's like, nope, we're doing this for future Christy. This is, you know, whatever it is that works for you. You want to have that compelling reason. You want to have a bunch of them for getting up. Yep. And I mean, and you can definitely kind of just scale it back. You know, you don't have to go all the way back to 5. If you're not, you know, if that's, you can definitely start that, because I mean, you can do that while you're also practicing all these thoughts. And so, you know, and it'll just get a little bit easier every day. Yeah. Anything else? Is that, I mean, you know, and it's like, it's not going to be easy and it's not going to be comfortable, especially at first, especially the first few weeks, couple weeks. You know, don't just give it a day or two.
Yeah, it's going to take about a month too.
Yes. I think that's probably, I mean, you know, you could probably, there's probably scientific, you know, I mean, it's just like any other habit, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I have kind of, you know, not been getting up and then I start to do that again. Yeah. It takes 3-4 weeks. Then it's like, then, you know, your body starts just kind of even waking up sometimes, even before the alarm goes off, you know, and that's just because your body is in that new routine and that new habit. So just give it some time. But just know that if you don't want to, if it feels super uncomfortable, you're doing it right.
Yeah, right. Yep.
If you hear all those alarm bells in your head while you hear your alarm on your alarm clock, you're doing it right. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
That's all right. Yeah. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Keep me posted on how it goes.
Will do.
Okay. Talk to you later. Bye. Bye. Let's see. Good. I'm glad that riding the wave kind of metaphor helped you all. All right. Well, we are done. And speaking of hunger, I am ready to eat my first meal of the day here. So I'm going to go and take a little break and eat some lunch. So I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend. Corinne is coaching tomorrow at noon, and I think it is a 2-hour. The 2-hour coaching call, mega call. And by the way, don't quote me on this. I mean, y'all will need to check, but I checked yesterday, the day before, and there was an open slot. So there are 8 slots there. So if any of y'all are interested in getting coached by Corinne, you can always check those slots leading up to the time of the call, and you might be able to get in on one of those. But there was an open one yesterday. And so, you know, people cancel all the time. So check back there if you want to get in with her. But yeah, it's going to be a super call. She used to have those more often than she does now. But yeah, it's because I think she didn't do coaching last weekend. So she's going to do a super call tomorrow. So that'll be 12 to 2 tomorrow. All right, guys, take care. Bye.